Amen. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, open our eyes, hearts, and minds to your word for us today. Stir us from any sense of complacency. Set our hearts on fire with your Holy Spirit, so that like those first apostles, we may boldly declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and live lives that are worthy of example. Let us now hear as we read your word those things that we need to hear and be instructed in those things that we need to be instructed in. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. First lesson is from Genesis. This is the second covenant that God has made with the patriarch Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but you shall be named Abraham, for I have made you ancestor of a multiple of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you shall be circumcised when he is 8 days old, including the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both slave and born in your house and the one bought with your money must be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations, kings of people, and shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Hear now the word of the Lord from the book that we love. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd of his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Thanks be to God for this reading. Amen.
I'm going to tell you a story. Bristol Gray.
Now, I don't know what kind of parent would name their son Frizzle. But Frizzle Gray was born and raised in one of the toughest neighborhoods of Baltimore. It was called Turner's Station. It is notorious to this day in the Baltimore area. He had a mother and three younger sisters. And she worked multiple jobs and kept a close eye upon Frizzle and his three sisters in order to keep them safe from the violence of the streets, as much as she could keep them safe from that, as well as keeping Frizzle out of any type of gang involvement. One of the things that she was really fond of telling Frizzle and his sisters when times seemed to be particularly hard is to just have faith that God will make a way out of no way. Well, when Frizzle was 16 years old, his mother contracted cancer. And within a few months, she died. And there was Frizzle Gray and his three sisters with neither mother nor father. Over the course of the next 6 years, the lure of the streets and the easy money of the streets pulled Frizzle away. He dropped out of high school. He joined a local street gang. He became a street hustler and a small-time thief. He began to drink heavily and do marijuana quite frequently with his pals, and they loved to hang out at a corner called Harkins Corner because they're particularly fond of Harkins Liquor Store. One night in the summer, on a warm, muggy evening, Frizzle and his friends were shooting craps in the alley behind Harkins Corner. And as they were shooting craps and exchanging money and calling each other names in the teasing way that sometimes men do with one another, all of a sudden it seemed to Frizzle as if his whole world was beginning to collapse around him. He became unusually hot, and he began to lose focus of those people who were around him. They began to fade in and out, and the words began to become jumbled where he could no longer understand them. He did not know what was happening. In spite of the hot evening and the muckiness of the air, he began to feel a bone-chilling cold, and he began to slide down the brick wall against which he was leaning and that they were shooting their dice against. And as he sat down on the alley, he began to see this golden cloud get bigger and bigger and begin to approach him. And within this golden cloud, there was a certain warmth, a warmth that he had never felt before, at least not that he could remember, a warmth that removed that bone-chilling cold from him. And as the cloud began to envelop him, he realized what that warmth was. It was love, a love that he had not known since the unconditional love that his mother gave him until her death 6 years earlier. And then in the midst of the cloud, there was a face, and the face became clearer and clearer, and eventually he saw the face of that of his mother. And he looked into her eyes, and she looked into his eyes, but her look into his eyes was one that was full of pain and sorrow, as she had seen what had become of him. And then she looked down, and Frizzle felt ashamed. What had he become? Who was he? how far he had fallen from his mother's guidance. And then his mother looked up again with those beautiful eyes. And these eyes were now filled not with sorrow, but with a love that was like a love that he hadn't seen for years, if ever. And then, as soon as the cloud appeared and surrounded him, it began to disappear. And he tried to hang on to the image, but it began to fade away. And he called out to the cloud and to the image of his mother, "Mother, I'll change. I'll be different. You'll see. Don't leave me, Mother." But it was gone. Frizzled Gray got up and walked out of that alley, a changed man. He walked into that alley as Frizzled Gray. He came out of that alley as Kwesi Umfume, son of conquering kings. And over the course of the next 20 or so years, he got his GED. He got a job at a radio station. He eventually became one of the most popular disc jockeys in Baltimore. He was elected to the city council and then to the Congress of the United States, where he became an important figure. The sermon title for today is A Way Out of No Way. This is week two of a series that we are having during the time of Lent on covenants. Last week we looked at the covenant between God, among God, Noah, and all of creation. It was a one-sided covenant in which God promised to never again to destroy all of creation. And God set a bow in the heavens to remind God of the promise that God made. And God did not ask anything of Noah or any of creation. It was a promise that God made to them. But this is a covenant. Today's lesson is a covenant that God made with Abraham, which there are two parties to the covenant. You may recall, if you know your Bible well, that five chapters earlier in chapter 12, out of the clear blue sky, God appears to Abraham or calls to Abraham and says, "Abram, pick up your family and leave the land of your ancestors and go to a new land, a promised land. And I will make you the father, the patriarch of many nations. Kings shall come and bless themselves because of you. You and your wife Sarai, go to this new land." And Abram, we are told, took his nephew Lot and his family and Abram's family, and they set off on a new land. But Abram's faith, you may recall, was weak. No sooner had he left his homeland than there was a great famine that came into the area. And out of a sense of desperation, Abram took Sarai and Lot and the family, and they went down to Egypt, hoping to find food during the time of famine. But when they got to Egypt, Pharaoh's agent saw how beautiful Abram's wife Sarai was, and Pharaoh sent emissaries to Abram in order to make a deal to have this woman traveling with him to be a part of his household. And you may recall, Abram, fearing for his own life, afraid that if Pharaoh knew that Sarai was his wife, that Pharaoh would have him killed, lied and said to the emissaries, "She is not my wife, she is my sister." And if it hadn't been for the intervention of God, Sarai would have spent the rest of her life in Pharaoh's household. But Pharaoh, as soon as he found out that Sarai really was Abram's wife, came back to Abram and said, "What were you trying to do to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" And Abram says, "I was afraid." And Pharaoh says, "Get out of here. Take all of your people and just get out of here." Pharaoh comes across as the honorable person. Abram, not so much. And then later, as years passed, and Sarai and Abram didn't have an heir, Abram and Sarai began to wonder if maybe Abram heard God's word wrong, that maybe Abram was supposed to be doing something. So Sarai and Abraham cooked up a plan in order to have Sarai's handmaiden, Hagar, become a surrogate mother for her. And so Abram took Hagar into his tent, and there she conceived, and she gave birth to a son named Ishmael. And things went along very well for him. But a second time, Abram's faith failed him. And then when God came in chapter 17, which we just read a few moments ago, and renewed the covenant, renewed the promise and the pledge, he told Abram and Sarai that their names would be changed because they're going to get a new start. They're going to be new people. Just as Frizzle Gray became Kwesi Mfume, he left the past behind and had a new start. And as the story of Abraham goes forward, we find that he was a man who somehow found his backbone, somehow found his character. Because when tension erupted between Sarah and Hagar over the birth of Isaac, a child of Abraham and Sarah, the Lord said to Abraham that you need to send Hagar and Ishmael away out into the wilderness. And Abraham, torn to the very heart of his soul, asked God for the promise that he would look out for, that God would look out for Abraham, for Hagar and Ishmael. And God said, Ishmael too is a child of promise. He's a child of your loins. And he will, and his descendants will be as numerous as the sands. And God did indeed protect Hagar and Ishmael. And then a little later, when Isaac was about 12 or 13 years old, you remember that horrible story? Horrible story when the voice of God came to Abram again, saying, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the child of promise, and I want you to go to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And Abram did not understand. But rather than understanding, he simply obeyed. And he took Isaac to the mountain. And when Isaac asked, what is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. God will find a way out of no way. And as Abraham tied up his son for the sacrifice and raised his knife, an angel of the Lord, we were told, interceded and said to him, stop, Abraham, stop. Look up and see, for God had provided a ram that had been caught in the underbrush. And so Abraham and Isaac continued on the sacrifice. For God now saw that Abraham actually trusted God. Trusted that God could make a way out of no way. It has been said that we humans, especially we post-enlightenment humans, we don't trust faith because we want proof. We want photographic proof that something is real. We want statistical proof, thinking that numbers provide reality. But the deepest realities of life are not found in photographs or in statistics, but it is found in faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the season of Lent, I invite you between now and Easter Sunday to take a short walk of faith. Go ahead and make your plans. As President Eisenhower once said, plans are essential. Or planning is essential, but plans are inconsequential. Things will always come up. Things will always put your plans awry. But just remind yourself that God will find a way out of no way. And in the morning, just take 30 seconds as you lay in bed. First, open up your eyes. Don't just jump straight up, but just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? And during the day, take your day planner or your smartphone or your calendar, whatever you want, and go ahead and plan out your day. But when there are interruptions, and there will be, Just ask yourself if this is a God moment. Is God trying to tell you something that you need to do? Is God trying to lay a ministry right before you that only you can meet? Then when you lay down at night, reflect upon your day and look for those God moments. Look for those ways in which God provided a way out of no way.